RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, golfers. Your tee time awaits. It's the Tee to Green Golf Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Got a thought on the PGA Tour? Want help with your swing? Give the show a call at 803-0550.
Tee to Green is being presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club.
A hole in one, not bad.
Now it's time to talk golf. Here are your hosts, Brian Koziol, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Mitis.
Just after 7 o'clock here on a Saturday morning, we welcome you into Tee to Green, live and on the air here on WGR Sports Radio 550. We are at one of our home clubs today, Lancaster Country Club, on the beautiful patio overlooking the 18th hole. And we're with you here for the next hour for your best spot for local golf talk in Western New York. I'm Brian Koziol here with Kevin Sylvester and PGA Pro Jeff Mitis. Corey Griswold producing back in our Amherst studios. Kevin, good morning. Place that I know you've gotten a chance to play quite a bit this year here. We got a great look here on the patio.
Wait, he was just grousing that he hasn't played enough.
Proud to be a member here. It is a great place to play, fun place to play. Although I've played twice here in the last month. Like, what is
that? Twice.
Twice. Only twice. What is wrong with me?
Well, you're using that as a judgment of how many rounds you played in the last month. I don't think there's necessarily a correlation.
If your wife, Donna, is listening, which I know she normally does.
Yeah. Like, she's played a lot more here.
I think you've got to get a little more focused here. This is prime time here. We're in July.
Yeah, hey, coming up on club championship season. Right?
Well, it's invitational season, right? We've got invitationals going on, like Brookfield's invitationals this weekend. Attica, they have their invitational this weekend. I'm playing the Orchard Park Invitational next week. So I'm actually going to play a practice round this morning.
Is that your reminder to us that you won't be on the show next week?
That is my reminder, yeah. Well, I was looking at the schedule. It's an 8:30 shotgun for the final round of matches. So unfinished business we have there. Runners-up last year, so unfinished business.
If you'd like details on last year, you can go into our on-demand audio section, pull up the 2020 shows mid-July, and Kevin will give you details on what happened last year.
You'd have to narrow it down to which invitational it was you want to learn about.
I have no defense. But what we need to talk about, Jeff Mitis, is I don't know how we could spend the whole show on this, but you got two proud dads sitting here.
Oh, I saw that this week.
The drive, chip, and putt performance that our sons did on Thursday. I'm still beaming. It was pretty cool.
It was. First of all, let's give kudos to...
Well, let's tell people what happened.
Yes. Well, I was going to say kudos to the staff, the Western New York PGA and the staff and volunteers, I know, that make that event great. Toward the end, dodging a lot of rain.
Yes.
But It is a super cool event. I mean, if you listen to our shows, you know we talk junior golf, I'm sure, as much as anybody in the world. We love talking junior golf. We know it's the future of golf.
And you're talking about the drive, chip, and putt, so people know.
Yes, and the drive, chip, and putt event, which was Thursday at Glen Oak. By the way, there is another drive, chip, and putt event coming up at Hickory Stick in Lewiston later in the month. So if you want to sign up, we'll give you info on that here in a second. But both
and by the way, anybody could sign up. Like,
right.
You
don't have to be a golfer. Yeah. If your kid is a beginner, you can still do it for the experience. It's a lot of fun.
Fun day.
But Kevin and I, both of our sons were there participating in the same age group. They're both 11. And Dylan's 11, right?
Yes.
Yeah. They're both 11. And so they were in their particular age group competing. And we've done this a few years, combining it with a nice donut trip afterwards to celebrate the day.
That's for the dads, the donuts.
That's really for the dads.
For the kids, but
yeah, we'll go to Krispy Kreme.
But this year was phenomenal in the sense that the top three out of each age category advanced to the sub-regional round, which is a step on the way to the Masters. We still have many steps to go here.
That's correct.
But walking out of there, the dream was still alive. Yes, Kevin, for both of our sons, Jack and Dylan, so congrats to them.
Yeah, it was. I think it was the fourth year we've done it, and Dylan made leaps and bounds this year, right? And you know, playing with PGA Junior League. I mean, this wasn't just a thing. Like, you know, okay, there's been some instruction, some experience going on there. He had experience doing it, and he wasn't even going. He was hesitant about going. And the other day, we're playing one of my two times here this month. We were playing, and he was really hitting the driver well, and I go, "What, you want to rethink Thursday?" He goes, "Yeah, I think I want to go." And he hit three perfect drives. I mean, wrong scene.
I was standing right behind the tent.
Yeah.
Kevin, out of all the boys I saw hit, he had the three straightest drives. They were right down the middle, and he looked so relaxed hitting them too. I was telling you, the swing was so smooth. So,
which is typical. Like it's just like his dad. Like, if I'm horrible on the range, I'll be good. He was not good on the range. Like, he was popping them up, like, and then he went to chip. And anyways, I was just thrilled that he won the drive. And then to see that he advanced in the top three, I was like, oh, wow.
So team T to Green's going to the next level.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, I told you guys we need some swag for him. They need to talk gear, hat, shirt, shoes, bag, the whole bit. Yeah.
Well, you know what's interesting? Our friends at Jim Beam just gave us a lot of stuff. That will be given away, part of our fantasy league, and you'll see a lot of it. The Duster
Challenge, yep.
But that really, matter of fact, Jack saw some of it yesterday. Like, well, now Jim
we're like,
Beam is not going to.
We're like,
TD Green logo Jim Beam is not going to be your.
The 11-year-old can't wear the shirt right now. So that wouldn't be a great look for TD Green nor
Jim Beam.
Me as the dad.
Yeah. And Jim
or
Beam's
Jim Beam.
Probably
for sure.
Not retweeting that picture out.
That's correct. Yes.
But. No, and then Jack kind of had the opposite experience of Dylan. Dylan gets up there, hits three great drives. He comes off. We're both kind of giving him, you know, fist pumps, and he's off and did great the rest of the way. Jack had a little rough go of it on the driving range. He hit his first one right down the middle, great, but then the next two, because the range was so hard, hit, went out of bounds. So he comes down off the range. He was a little rattled.
He was rattled. I don't know. He was dejected.
Yes.
Yeah.
He had been hitting him,
hit a couple good ones.
And he had been hitting him well on the range. We weren't like I didn't think those would be an issue. But it just they hit hard and they rolled out. And a lot of boys had the same thing where I thought they hit good drives. It wasn't just him that hit good drives, and it just the range was so hard and they rolled out. But By the way,
my son said to me, he goes, because he hits a little baby draw, he's like, "I think I'm going to aim right, Dad, seeing those balls bounce." So it wasn't just like he calculated it out.
Your last name being S alphabetically helped there. He got to see more of that.
See more. I think he was the last guy to go.
Yeah, it was toward the end for sure.
Yeah, he was second to last or last. Yeah.
But so I had to kind of regroup him while we walked over to do the chipping, and then he hit three great chips and finished tied for first in chipping, and then he made two of his three putts, including the long one, which was sweet. So he
The long one was awesome. Yeah. I was so pumped for the kid. I was like, right.
So he got himself back in it, and then we come in the scoring tent after watching Jack and Dylan, and we see where they were at second and third. And by the way, congrats to Connor Jackson, who finished first in that age group.
Yeah.
But and all the boys and girls that were participating over there, all the way down from age seven, technically even six, because they could be seven by next year's Augusta National when they determine the actual age. So all the way up through age 15, being 16. So it was a really, really cool event. But Dylan and Jack are on to the next phase, which will be tougher. But two more phases to get us to the Masters, Kev.
Two more.
Not that you and I are thinking about that in any way.
Well, yeah.
By the way, they get to bring a guest right onto the course. Have you established that you are that guest?
Oh, for sure.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
And then he said, well, if we don't, if I told him two things. I said, if you somehow make it to the Masters, okay, I will get you any paint job on your goalie mask you want. All right, that's number one. And he said to me, well, if I don't make it there, can we go anyways? I want to go. I'm like, okay, all right, someday.
Yep.
So
it'd be a great road trip to go to.
I'm in the lottery. I do want to give a shout out to two members here, kids, Cole Jones and Julia Lyman. Cole advanced in the 13 to 14 age group.
Yep.
And Julia won the chipping in her age group, 12 to 13.
Yes.
So another junior league player there. And all the kids here from Lancaster who went to represent this golf club was awesome. So,
and it was a cool experience.
I name them all, but I don't want to leave anybody out. Yeah. So,
Jeff, you've worked and been at many drive chip and putts. I mean, just we talk about it quite a bit, but it's really cool.
Yeah, the way they announce the kids when they come to the tee, it feels like a big deal when you're a kid and you get to have an experience like that, and it's fun. And the parents are getting, as you guys probably had your blood pressure up and were pretty pretty engaged.
You're pumped and nervous for your kid, of course. But and also too, just so parents know, if you haven't done it before, as Kevin said, I want to echo this again. It's free. They get a cool little swag item when they come in. Like it's not you're not committing yourself to 5 hours here. Like it's about maybe what an hour in total. You get to give them about a half hour to warm up, hit some balls, then you go through the procedure, and then they do the awards, and then it's done. So it's not that long of a day. You can still register for those of you living in the Buffalo area at Hickory Stick on July 22nd. So if you go to wnypga.com, go to Junior Golf and select Drive Chip and Putt. July 22nd is at Seneca Hickory Stick. If you live in the Rochester area, there is one on July 15th as well. So that's at Genesee Valley. So that one, I'm not sure if registration is closed for that or not yet, but that's kind of some of the ones that are in the area.
And I would say I want to reiterate, if you are not a good golfer, it does not matter because it's still a fun experience. And kids, you can hit one good shot and it can get you through. You hole a chip or you know, you make the long putt, it might help. But yeah, it's a fun experience for the kids and it's a way for them to meet other kids, make buds. And, you know,
well, listen, this is our fourth year doing it. And the first year he placed in anything. So, like I said, you know, we've gone through. And because he didn't advance 3 years or didn't get a ribbon or whatever, he didn't say, I don't want to go. Right. So, I mean, the kids look forward to it. It's a fun day. And it's, you know, it claps for everybody when they're announced to the tee box. It's it's a really cool deal.
Yep.
And then we got hamburgers after.
That's right. We
ate donuts.
Glen Oak. No donuts. No, we just decided to have lunch over at Glen Oak, which was excellent.
It was very good, yes. So, again, if you want to have your kid go do the next one, it's at Hickory Stick on July 22nd. Go to WNYPGA.com and then click on Junior Golf and then go right down to Drive, Chip, and Putt. It's right there. It's free. Register, sign up, and good luck your son or daughter is participating in that one. We're here at Lancaster Country Club on Tee to Green, one of our home clubs. Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro, Jeff Mitas. We're going to be speaking with the assistant PGA Pro here, Andy Duvall, coming up in our second segment. That's when we'll do our normal Western New York PGA tip of the week. But also an event this week on the PGA Tour that was a lot of fun. The match with Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady taking on Bryson DeChambeau and Aaron Rodgers. And there was a lot of highlights of it, but Jeff, maybe the highlight of it all for us, we were saying, is just how beautiful the course looked. I was watching it with my wife, and I'm like, I bet you Google right now of golf vacations in Montana are getting searched quite a bit right now. I mean, that was just gorgeous to see.
It was interesting. Even my daughter tweeted out pictures of just the golf course, you know, because it was stunning, stunning place to watch golf. Very visually cool. And it's a place I'd want to go and play, that's for sure. I had a hard time rooting because, you know, Tom Brady's on one team and DeChambeau's on the other. So
those are two of your favorites.
Yeah, so I'm sitting there. I hope they both stink.
Rodgers played very well, putted very well. I was surprised at that. And normally, the amateurs, when they get on this stage, I mean, let's face it, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers have faced the ultimate pressure in their sport. But playing golf, which is not their number one sport, like when Brady was in it last year, if you remember, he had a meltdown in those first handful of holes. And he said he was very nervous.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not only are you playing with one of the world's greatest players ever, with Mickelson and DeChambeau, but, I mean, you can't hide from a bad shot. And I thought Rodgers handled himself pretty well overall, considering that was his first go at it.
I'm surprised that, you know, Brady, how nervous he was at the time. They played practice round with Phil, like, and, you know, maybe it was a Tiger factor. I don't know. But they've played in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am all the time.
Sorry, so Brady was with Tiger last year.
Yeah.
Against him, yeah.
You know, they've been they played in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. So they've been on television golfing. The Century Tournament of Champions, which is going on right now, which, by the way, Mike Madonna had a
double eagle.
First one ever.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, but didn't he was in the Stars that beat the Sabres, so that's not that cool. Yeah. All right, anyway.
That was
there's another guy to root against.
I think. Isn't today the date for that, by the way? I digress. Yeah, the anniversary of that.
It would have been in June.
Okay.
Yeah, it would have been earlier in June, yes.
Another event not worth rehashing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, remember, it reminds us of times when they were good.
Yeah.
So it's okay. But anyhow, so I'm just surprised at how nervous they were. I watched some of it. I didn't watch a lot of it. To me, the novelty's kind of worn off a little bit.
Yeah, I thought so too. But the golf course was...
I had zero interest
in watching, and I walked into a place that had it on, and bam, I was immediately attracted to watching the golf course and seeing the holes. It's a little different, though, when they've got cameras on you for every shot than the American Century Challenge. You know, like, they got the TrackMan behind you.
True.
They have... There's seven camera angles of, you know, and every time you hit a bad one, it's replayed in slow motion. And, yeah.
And because it's on, like, a Tuesday, there is no other golf event up against it, so the golf media is on it, and you're right. I mean, it's getting attention, but I mean, the idea is it's raising money. Yeah. They said they had, again, a lot of meals that they were donating. Yeah. So
the
in that sense,
thing
it's
was cool.
It's a great cause.
I didn't
for
see
that.
It, but I read after, like, they did a thing right
oh,
before.
Oh, did you see Mickelson do that?
He made
how
like
many
15
putts?
15 putts in a row.
How many putts could he make in 30 seconds?
Yeah.
And he made like 15 in a row.
Yes.
That's impressive.
Each one was worth 10 grand.
Yeah.
Or was it 50 grand? I don't know. Whatever.
How many meals?
How long was the putt? I didn't see it.
It was
10 feet, maybe?
Yeah, like 10 footer.
Maybe 8 feet.
10 feet. It wasn't a.
He
wasn't
just
a,
kept cranking them, though.
He just rifled them in. Well,
it was just boom, 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 boom. Now, obviously, you don't care if you miss at that point, but he didn't miss.
Yeah.
He just kept making them. It was great. And, I mean, this obviously seems to be a way for Mickelson to. I mean, he's played in all of the matches, so he's got a stake in it. I'm sure there was. They interviewed Wayne Gretzky on the broadcast, partially to promote TNT getting the NHL next year, because Gretzky is going to be a part of that broadcast. And they hinted...
I find that interesting, by the way.
They hinted that the next one would have DJ and Wayne Gretzky together against Mickelson and somebody.
All right, now I'm watching that.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that... Now, but they did one already. Was it DJ, Rory, Matt Wolf, and Ricky Fowler at Seminole. That one, to me, the attraction, remember it was little, so they carried their own bags.
I like that one because I wanted to see Seminole.
I wanted to see Seminole. Yes.
It's never on TV.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I like watching tour players play too, as opposed to Tom Brady.
There is a member Seminole that is here in Western New York. I know of one.
I know of one too.
I'm not going to say his name, but someone.
He's also at Augusta, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, the person who is at Seminole, anyway, someone suggested. Whatever, say, call him to play. I'm like, I don't know that. I'm not going to call a guy out of the blue to say, can you take me?
So you texted him.
Right. You can text him.
I wrote
him
a letter. No.
Listen, when T.D. Green, we can do our show from Seminole and then play afterwards.
Yeah, I don't think they'd let us do the show from Seminole. I have a colleague who played it and said it is amazing. Yeah, absolutely amazing.
A couple of my buddies have played it. And
it looked amazing on television.
Yeah, it is, and it's in a confined area, kind of like Augusta.
Yes.
You know, it's like you'd be surprised at the surroundings out there.
Yeah, you can walk down the beach, and there's Seminole right there to your right.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, pretty cool.
If you didn't see it, though, DeChambeau and Rogers did win the match. They were
I love how he's
going three
the
with
official.
Two and right.
Did anybody care?
No, I'm just,
okay, right.
I'm just saying, if anybody didn't see it, if you're curious.
Wagered on it, I'm sure.
Right. But I'm just saying, in case people maybe didn't know who won, DeChambeau and Rogers won. It was a lot of Rogers putting. They got that done.
They played modified alternate shot.
Modified alternate shot.
Everybody teed off.
And then they chose from there, and they alternated in.
I like that format for that event, and I think there's a market for this, especially because it's raising money for charity, and you're going to get different personalities and different people.
And the best part of the broadcast still is Barkley, because they bring Charles Barkley in on it, and he obviously knows these guys quite well, so he does bring a little humor to it as well. But, I mean, you have a lot of time in between shots because there's not other holes to go to or other players.
Right.
So you've got to have some downtime. And Barkley is obviously one of the best analysts on television, not even just basketball or golf, but, I mean, just on television. He's very, very good. So I know.
And, of course, they hit Aaron Rodgers with the, are you going to play for Green Bay?
Well, they have to.
I know. I'd have a hard time hitting a shot after that one because I'd be annoyed. I'd be like, yeah. You knew it was coming, though, that question. So
yeah.
Yeah. Is he going to play for Green Bay? What do we think?
I think he is.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think they're going to realize they got to give him the money.
Yeah, and he's, yeah.
Or he's just like, yeah, whatever, right? I mean, he looks
like $26 million or something, though, isn't it? And he's got to give some back if he doesn't play. I don't know that much about that situation. But it was fun to watch, though.
He's not giving anything back.
No, I know
that's not happening. No. All right, anyways, we digress.
Yes. Before we get to break here, and again, assistant PGA Pro Andy Duval here from Lancaster Country Club going to join us in our second segment. Let's get in a couple of items. What's going on the professional scene here? We go to our Champions Tour report first here, brought to you by Donald Ross Clothing, the world's finest golf apparel. And this week, it's the U.S. Senior Open. So it's a big event, and it'll be on NBC this weekend if you're looking for that. Four-round event, two rounds already in. Jim Furyk's your leader. He shot a 64 yesterday, Kev, minus four. Only three golfers are under par. We know the U.S. Open's, you know, a tougher event. Furyk's at four under. Canadian Stephen Ames is at two under. And Miguel Angel is at minus one. Those are the only three that are under par right now. But Furyk, 64, really impressive.
Yeah, it's outstanding round of golf. He knows how to go low. I mean, he's got a 59 and a 58 on the PGA Tour. And U.S. Open champion, of course. Olympia Fields, I want to say, is where Furyk won his U.S. Open.
That's correct.
And Stricker's not playing in this because he's playing in the John Deere Classic this week on the PGA Tour. Surprised by that.
Well, that's his hometown, and I think he's sponsored there, isn't he? So isn't John Deere one of his sponsors for Stricker? So I thought I saw it on his shirt.
Could be. I know the Ryder Cup is there.
Yes.
Some of the PGA Tour events that Stricker has played in has been because he is wanting to be around guys because he has to make captain's picks choices. But if you look at the field of the John Deere here, good segue, we can get to that now. Our PGA Tour leaderboard brought to you by Callaway Chrome Soft, this ball is different, and also by Puma Golf Shoes. You look at the John Deere leaderboard and players, there's not really a whole bunch of guys that you'd be thinking are Ryder Cup guys. A lot of them are playing over in the Scottish Open, or they're taking the week off.
You got Dan Berger, Russ Henley. I'm just saying, like, you know, these are
maybe
names.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, these are Dan Berger, to me, is a guy you got to consider. So, you know, maybe you want to look at him. Brian Harman. You're saying, well, if these guys don't have a chance, hey, these guys are really good players. So
he's going to have to make some picks. And if somebody's hot at the time, too. And you get to see how they play on a course you're playing. You understand the facility better when you're playing.
That golf course, by the way.
In Illinois?
Yeah. TPC Deer Run. I think it's a really cool
track. It's fun.
Really cool track.
I played it this week on PGA Tour 2K video game with Jack.
Oh, okay.
We played it.
All right.
We like to...
Did you put the volume down?
We
recommend that.
All right. We like to try to play the course on the video game of the week they're playing for what Jack likes to search
cool.
it and see if it's there. So that's what we do, yes.
The 11th hole, by the way, is the hottest hole I've ever been on in my life, standing behind the 11th green. It is just a boiler. There's no air flowing back there. The humidity, they call it the corn sweats out in Silvis, Illinois. They do.
The mm-hmm. corn sweats?
Yeah, because the humidity and the corn, the condensation will form on the corn silks.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So that's why it's so hot.
One of the best ice cream shops in the country, the Whitey's Ice Cream. I'm just letting you know, if you go to Quad City, Silvis, Illinois, Moline, that area,
a lot of people
fly to Chicago,
right now.
Fly to Moline. It's great. It's a great event, and they got all the John Deere equipment out there. It's really cool.
So Luke List is your leader through two rounds. He shot a 63 yesterday. My buddy Sebastian Munoz, one shot off the lead at minus 12.
Buddies now.
Yeah, he's buddies. Yeah. Well, we played together, peak and peak. His career took off after he played with me.
By the way, he's got one of the best sponsor logos. You know what his sponsor logo is? It's his new. He just got it recently. Flex Seal. is on his chest.
That's cool.
I'm like, that's awesome.
You can just you can hear the commercial in your head right away.
That's right.
I can see him doing something to his bag with the tape. Yeah.
There's about seven guys at 11 under, but List leading with Munoz one off the lead. That's your look at the John Deere Classic and our check to the PGA Tour leaderboard.
We're going to send Flex Seal an invoice now because we talked about him on the show.
Hey, all right. We might as well, because we said a lot of the players are playing in the Scottish Open. A lot of the bigger names this week. So we might as well throw that out. That's Good Morning Golf. It's on right now if you want to watch the Scottish Open on Golf Channel.
While listening to the rest of the show.
That's, of course. Yeah. Make sure you're still listening to TD Green. Three-way tie for the lead, including John Rahm.
Yeah.
Jack Senior and is it Senior? Senior. Jack Senior. Yeah. Thomas Dietrich are both are all at 11 under. Westwood, Fitzpatrick, Bjork are all at 10 under par. Some other names of note. Tommy Fleetwood, 8 under. Scheffler, 8 under. Justin Thomas, 8 under.
See what happened to Rory on the tee?
Yes.
That was peculiar.
That guy...
Yeah, he took... A fan came right out...
Onto the tee.
Onto the tee and took his driver and then...
He took his head cover took and his head six cover iron off, or something, right?
Yeah. And then started swinging and there was very little reaction. No reaction from security. Yeah.
The look on their face was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I'll commend Rory... Harry, John Rahm, like, you know, they were smart in that. Like, hey, it's just a golf club. Like, who knows what this guy's got going on? They just stood there and were like, hey, get security here.
Yeah.
Like, most of us would go over and confront the guy, but they got a lot to lose by, you know, you don't know what the guy's got going on.
I was watching the video, and I thought it was one of the Daryl Survey guys going into his bag.
Sure,
that's
right.
What I thought. Yeah. And then it got weird. Yeah.
Yeah, no, those guys have a clipboard, and they're doing it on the first tee.
And the gentleman that took the club, there was very little, like, it wasn't like, oh, I swung a club, and then I'm raising. Like, he was trying to get a reaction or anything.
I'm
it was
not
very
sure
weird.
He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, it was a weird thing.
Yeah,
the video
I think he hit his limit and was not driving home.
Let's hope.
I agree.
Well, he was getting a ride in a police car. I'm right, sure of that. But, I mean, you know, I think things will be a little more tighter now, security-wise, because of that. There was, like, nobody there. Like, it was very early.
It was an early morning. Yeah. They hadn't teed off yet. They were teeing off on 10 early in the morning.
Which also made you wonder, like, what's this dude been doing all day? Or all night,
Who knows?
Anyways, all right.
All right, time out here from Lancaster Country Club, one of our home clubs. We're happy to be here on the patio overlooking the 18th hole. When we come back, we will talk with PGA Pro Andy Duval. We'll get our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week, a little bit more here about Lancaster, and we'll still get our thoughts on next week's Open Championship and, of course, our highly anticipated picks for the championship.
I'm going off the board.
You're varying from Koepka.
I am.
Okay. Well, that's news enough to tune in.
Wow.
Okay, we'll have that and more coming up. Appreciate you being with us. Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Metis. I'm Brian Colziel. Corey Griswold producing in our Amherst studios. Thanks for listening. Hope you're having a great start to your Saturday. This is Tee to Green, live at Lancaster Country Club. We'll be back with more in a moment on WGR.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Custom turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club. Stay tuned. More Tee to Green coming up. Listen up, golfers. It's time for our Tip of the Week, brought to you by the Western New York PGA. The Western New York PGA has one goal, promoting and growing the game of golf today, tomorrow, and beyond.
7:32, welcome back here to Lancaster Country Club. Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Metis. It is time for our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week. We'll get to that here in one moment, but we are pleased to be joined by a... Assistant PGA Pro Andy Duval here from Lancaster. Andy making his Tee to Green show debut, which is always very exciting.
Thanks,
Andy, good
guys.
Morning.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. You've had a good year playing so far here. I know you and Jeff were just talking about that, so congrats. I know for those that don't know, a lot of the area PGA pros get a chance to play in events, so tell us how that's been going.
Yeah, it's been good. Started off the year with the assistance event and down in Kakwa. Yeah, Kakwa.
Is that in Erie, right?
That's in Erie, right?
That's in Erie.
Yeah, great spot. Yeah,
beautiful.
Really
place.
Wonderful place to play.
Yeah.
Won an assistance event down there, played a few other spots, and, you know, games started to come together a little bit here in the last, you know, 3 to 4 weeks. One over at Bartlett, and then that next Monday at Chautauqua.
Well, it's a nice little run there.
Yeah, yeah. There's a little show karma. We had John Rahm on, and I don't know if you've noticed, he's been playing pretty good lately.
Perfect.
So this is going to get better for you.
By the way, congratulations on winning Bartlett, especially with having Franco as your partner.
Agreed. Yeah, yes. Frank, it was a struggle all day, but we managed to get it through there. Yeah, it's good.
That's impressive, because if you're not from the area, you haven't played Bartlett a lot. It takes a little local knowledge to get around that place. Yeah. So that's a nice win.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was fun. We had a couple of members that got me through there, so it's always a treat.
That's great. So, Andy, this is your second year here at Lancaster.
Yeah.
What do you like about the golf course?
I like how tight it is. I mean, you can miss it places, but the greens are usually always good, pretty quick. And, you know, you got to kind of place your ball out there. It's not just kind of a banger's course. So I like a little bit more of a, you know, spot shots. And
let me ask you something about the greens here. Like, I feel like I know them, but I also feel like I don't know them, right? Is that be accurate? I mean, they're so, I mean, the break on them is so precise.
Yeah, there's a lot of subtleties to it. You know, there's not really one spot. Some of these places that we play, everything goes towards a valley. Everything goes towards, around here, it's really not. Greens are laid out pretty well. But you don't see, you know, some of the greens are pretty flat, but they have a much more break than you would actually agree, you know, you'd actually see with them. So, you know, you just playing it a couple of times, you're good to go.
I remember Jeff before I was a member here a long time ago. I remember playing with our late great friend Mark Pacer.
Yep.
And we were playing hole three. It was like a guest day, and I'm like, this hole's easy. And you just bang it down.
The short par four.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. This hole's easy. And then you become a member here, and you're like, man, this hole's so hard.
Yeah, it's like, one of those holes you can drive, but you might be better off just being on the front edge as opposed to 10 yards short.
Yeah,
correct.
So. Well, the green is so severe, the break on it, left to right, and you're just like,
Hey, you want a challenge, Kev? They shouldn't all be easy holes.
Okay, I'm just saying.
It's like, yeah.
Well, that's what I love about golf courses, right? You think about the great holes. You talk about great holes even on the PGA Tour. You think about golf courses in the area, the best holes are always the short par fours. The ones, the risk-reward, the drivable ones, they always cause the most problems. You think about 10 at Riviera, right? I mean, everybody knows that hole. It's like, yeah, good luck. You can make three or you can make seven super easily. So I always find the short par fours to be the best.
I love it, too. You've got, I mean, we've seen it at U.S. Open setups now, too, but the PGA's has done this, too, where they have these holes where you can move the tees up and then it possibly becomes drivable for the pros. And I think those are the most exciting holes to watch, you know, when we were watching like majors on the PGA
Tour.
And
we have three of them here. We have 3, 11, and 18, right? There are guys who drive 18, but hey, you know what? There's no bargain there. And you can, every hole, you can hit 7-iron through driver off the tee.
Yeah, Andy.
Andy's hitting 3-wood.
I was going to ask you.
Well, probably. Yeah, I'm hitting 3-wood right in that pond over there. I got a bus driver.
I tweeted out a picture when I got here this morning of the 18th hole here from our look from the patio.
Yep.
And one of the listeners says, what's the best way to play number 18? Do you hit driver? Do you lay up? Do you go for it? I mean, for those that aren't familiar maybe with Lancaster, you might, if you've been here for an event, you might know the 18th hole because this is the one you can see from the patio. But what's the strategy on a hole like number 18 here?
There's a tree right in the middle of the fairway off the tee. The water kind of juts out.
Yeah.
So if you hit a little right of that, it can kind of sneak in over there. Tree right at it, hit, you know, if you hit something 200 yards off the tee, right at that tree. If you're unlucky and it goes right behind it, so be it. But you're trying to hit it right at that. You got about 130-yard shot in. You know, 8-iron, 9-iron, pop it on there, middle of the green.
That is exactly how to play it. Is it not, Jeff?
Yeah, I try to aim a little right of the tree. That's what I do. But and I played here for 10 years. It's a hole where I think you're better off having a wedge in your hand. Proximity of the hole is the number one factor in scoring always. This might be one of those exceptions because if you could get a pitch, that'd be almost impossible to get close to the pin if you miss the green. So I prefer to have a wedge in my hand because I feel like I can hit that close.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I do aim at the tree because I hit a little fade, a little cut. And I'll go with hybrid. Yeah, a little butter cut, that's what I call it. I'll hit hybrid off of there, get it about 215 out there. If it goes straight, it goes past the tree. You still got a great shot.
He calls it a butter cut. We call it a crop duster.
I like that. Andy Duval, the PGA assistant PGA pro here at Lancaster Country Club, joining us. You heard it was coming out of commercial break. We get our Western New York PGA tip of the week. We're going to do that now here with Andy and Jeff. We're talking about chipping and chipping out of tight lies. We're seeing it. We see it here at Lancaster. We're seeing it on the 18th hole here. But more and more courses, Jeff, we're seeing trends now, too. The mowed off areas, kind of the sloping down areas around the greens.
The fairway fairway cut.
The fairway cut. Right around greens. We're seeing that more and more trends. And for a lot of people, this... I think with amateurs, sometimes they'd almost rather have the ball be in the rough and like sit up, like perched up a little. Sometimes those really tight lies for amateur players, like that's a tough shot. So what are some keys here? Andy, let's start with you. What are some keys on a shot like that? What do you like to think about on a shot like that?
I try to get the heel up. So depending on how far and how high I got to hit it, I try to never let the heel sit on the ground. I try to, I just get the toe kind of having the club sit up a little bit more upright on the toe. And square it up just a little bit. So as it's coming in, it can't really dig. The bounce will kind of come into play and, it'll give it a little bit of hook spin as it comes in there. So you just set it up a little bit higher, stand a little closer to it, and then, pretty much like a putting stroke. We just, hit it like that, and nothing ever digs.
Yeah, I think once people learn to use their bounce, it's a much easier shot, right?
Agreed.
Would you move the ball back in your stance or change your ball position when you did that?
I like it right in the middle with just a little bit of hand. I mean, if it's going to go back a ball or so, but I'd like it right in the middle or just slightly back, hands just slightly forward. And it gets the club sitting right on the bounce, and then you can kind of make a putting stroke at it. You don't really have to worry about hinging and trying to hit down and all that stuff. It should just kind of sweep off from there. So
I like that idea.
Do you
a lot.
Agree with that?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Yeah. And the other thing, it's a hard shot for everybody.
Agreed.
I mean, it's not just hard for hitters, or it's a tough shot. And I think you got to commit to it too. I think people, if you're hitting it tentative or you're afraid to hit the shot, then just trust your technique and maybe just focus on the rhythm or how high you're going to fly the ball. I love that idea for the setup change, because when that heel doesn't catch, it's hard for that club to dig.
Yeah.
And then, just I would get up there. I like what you're saying. Ball in the middle of your stance. Get that heel up a little bit closer. And handle a little bit ahead, light grip pressure, and just trust it. Just hit the best shot you can at that point.
How far up is that? I'm intrigued by this. Because everybody stubbed one, with the heel of the club.
It'll dig.
Yeah. How far, are we just talking a smidge to get that heel up off, or what?
Yeah, so if you take your normal setup and you're in a golf shot, your hands are, there's going to be a little bit of angle in your hands, so the heels are going to be sitting, the sole is going to be sitting on the ground. Just kind of stand a little bit forward, and your hands just kind of, as you get more closer to it, the heel's going to be in a couple of millimeters.
Sure.
It's not like you're trying to get,
way up, I got you.
Steve Stricker, you're not trying to Steve Stricker the heel up off the ground.
It's
just
toe.
A little tiny bit.
What degree wedge would you recommend somebody using? Does it change in the distance to the hole?
I would say it changes on the, or what you're comfortable with.
Correct.
And people sometimes have different configurations for their wedge. Like my 60 has much less bounce than my sand wedge does, my 55. So I like to use the bounce when I'm around the green, and especially in tight lies like that. It may seem counterintuitive, but I would like to have a little bit more bounce to let that club kind of glide through. The shot comes a little extra tough if you're into the green with those shots, which you don't get a lot here.
And it might depend, too. Yeah. Is it level versus going up or downhill, too? That could could depend upon how might change your club decision.
Yeah, and I suggest most people, they get comfortable with one club around the green instead of, until you play a lot, get comfortable using either your 56 or your 60 and hit as many shots as you can with that and alter the trajectory, as opposed to, I'm going to hit a 56, I'll hit a 52. Change your trajectory, learn to use the club, and that's how you get better at a short game.
Okay. Good advice from Andy and Jeff there on your Western New York PGA Tip of the Week. You going to try that out today, Kevin?
Kevin's wheels are spinning. I got some eyes right now. He wants to go to the chipping green.
I got some work to do on my custom turf putting green and chipping area downstairs today, tonight, and tomorrow.
Now you can try that
Monday.
That little chipping thought.
Got the invite coming up, man.
Exactly.
Invite season.
Yes. Or even league night here. So there's so many good players here.
Yeah, there are.
It's crazy.
Our league's pretty good. I like it. Yeah, the invite's coming up. You playing the invite?
I am. I'm playing in a couple invites, Andy. That was the beginning of the show.
Gotcha.
There are so many jokes after you said that, Andy.
Gotcha.
Are you playing in the invite?
As Jeff has said in the past, Kevin's a great guest to have at those things.
That's right. What about hitting a utility club on a shot like that, like a hybrid or something like that?
I know why you're asking this.
I'm just saying, next week's the Open Championship. Todd Hamilton's famous shot that won him. Remember that shot?
You're not old enough to remember that shot.
Do you know the shot I'm talking about?
I do. Yeah, yeah.
And, it's a little gray in that beard, Jeff.
Yeah, come on, give me a little credit.
That's right here. But the shot of his life was the one that got him up and down, that that won it. And we're going to see a whole bunch of different shots this week at the Open Championship where guys might hit that with a 60, might hit it with a 7-iron, or they might even use like a hybrid or something like that. So what about that?
I think it all depends on where you're at. I mean, in Florida, I think it's a tough shot to hit because a lot of times you're into the green. So the ball is not going to roll up the hill as much. Yeah. Around here, probably a good spot if there's some fairway, you know, the fairway cut.
Yeah.
Over there, I feel like it's harder to hit the 60s and get the spin because of the way the courses are set up. Everything's kind of bowled up. You get some mounds and all that stuff. So it's a shot that you probably have to play. Everybody that comes over to the States has the bump and run 7, the bump and run 9. Guys are using 4-irons, 6-irons, everything. If you want to try it, I think it's great. It takes a lot of practice. It's one of those where I still think you set that a little bit up off the toe, and it's not flush to the ground.
I think it has advantages because the sole, it'll tend to glide versus an iron.
Agreed.
But I think it has a disadvantage in that it's much longer. And with those shorter clubs, you want to have a shorter shaft. And I know you can choke up and stuff, mm-hmm. but the lie angle is very flat then. And I feel like I'm a little too far away from the ball. And it's harder for me to control the distance with a hybrid. And I feel like it comes off hot sometimes with the hybrid. It comes off the center of that blade a little too hot. And like you're talking about when we're hitting those shorter pitches, sometimes I'm hitting those a little towards the toe to deaden them just so they don't come jumping out of there on you and going. So that's why you get the heel in the air on those short pitches, because you do catch it a little towards the toe with the hybrid. I mean, it's good. Say you had a 40-yard shot or something, and you were trying to run it up there, but it'd be difficult.
I agree with you. I think it is so tough to control. Like that, it would just take so much work.
Well, we all did after Todd Hamilton did. I remember that next week we're all practicing.
Look
hybrids.
You know who was doing it at Congaree, Chesson.
Chesson Hadley?
Yeah, he kept using the hybrid. I'm like, and it cost him the tournament, in my opinion.
I see people use it when they're against the collar, against the long.
Yes. If maybe it's tough to get.
That might be a good spot
for him. He used it on the fairway cut. I mean, they fashioned themselves after Augusta National. They had everything was green and the cut. I mean, there was really no rough, and he was using that hybrid to putt all the time. And in the final round, I mean, obviously nerves got him, and he did it well earlier, but it was not working for him.
Yeah. Got a pick for the Open for next week? I don't know how much PGA Tour golf you've been watching. I know PGA pros are busy, but
I get to watch Saturdays and Sundays, so that's a treat. I mean, I'm a Rahm fan right now, so I mean, I think that sets up pretty well for him.
He's tied for the lead this week at the Scottish Open, so he's playing well.
Obviously, he's playing solid golf, so I'm going to take him, but that's obviously a lot of people are going to be taking him, so I don't really have a sleeper at this point. I'd like to see Phil kind of do something over there, but
so here we'll finish off Andy's segment with this here, and everybody can jump in. So, picking a favorite at Royal St. George's might actually not be the best move. I know that probably we all will pick a guy like Rahm. Mm-hmm. The last two times the event's been here, it's been a sole major winner. They've only won once, and it was a huge surprise. 2011. Do you remember who won? So 10 years ago, it was his only major win. He plays Champions Tour events now.
Is that the one he made the long putt on 18 and dropped the Italian?
Nope.
Francisco?
It was a local favorite who won that one.
Mark Kelk.
Got it?
Oh, that was a long
no.
time.
No, it was a Kelk. 2011.
2011 at Royal St. George's.
Bjorn Long.
It's not Duvall.
Nope. Ryder Cup captain.
For which team?
For Europe.
Not Paul Laurie.
No, it was Darren Clark.
Darren Clark.
He won it.
That was 2011.
Yes.
That was 10 years ago.
And then 2003, the last time it was in Royal St. George's, an even more obscure name, maybe even more obscure than Todd Hamilton.
Ben Curtis.
Ben Curtis.
Wow, good pull.
There you go.
Yeah, I remember Ben Curtis.
Yes, the last two winners when the event's been at Royal St. George's, because it's in the normal rotation. It gets it like every 10 years or so.
Ben Curtis has a major.
Clark in 2011.
Just think about
Curtis in 2003.
There's a bunch of guys that have won major, though. Yeah.
Todd Hamilton.
Yes. Like
that's the thing about the Open Championship.
Paul Laurie. The
Paul
Open
Laurie
Championship
could be
gets some
anybody.
Yeah.
Could be anybody.
It could be anybody. You have a good week and Lynx golf, we know, you get bounces.
I love watching it. Love.
You can get some
it.
You can be the best player but not win because you might hit in the fairway and it might bounce into a pot bunker and you might take an 8 on a hole and you're done.
Remember that your Tiger hit iron off every tee over there so he wouldn't get near any of those
bunkers.
Was
that in Carnoustie?
That was at Might have been St. Andrews.
Was it Lytham and St. Andrews?
It was just on the other day. It was just on
TV. Yeah, where he didn't hit driver the entire off any team.
Could be Liverpool.
Yeah. He's wanted so many of them, so I guess we're right on one of these.
Yeah, come on, let's just keep naming them.
That's right. Well, Andy, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. Thanks for having us here today.
Appreciate it, guys.
Keep good playing, buddy.
Thanks a lot.
That's right.
Thanks
good luck.
It was fun.
Yes. Assistant PGA Pro here at Lancaster Country Club, Andy Duval. Good chat with him.
My apologies to my buddy Johnny Franco for, busting his chops. That's all. He's one of the great members here.
Okay.
Everybody loves Franco.
Awesome. Thank you.
He's got his own drink named after him. That's how popular a guy
Palmer.
He is here.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yes, Franco is the Arnold Palmer of Lancaster Country Club.
All right, well,
we're going to have an autographed picture of him over
statement.
There.
There you go.
We're going to have an autographed picture of him next to the Arnold Palmer autographed picture over here in the grill room.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Okay, time out. We will get our official picks, which I know everybody's excited about, and a little bit more facts on next week's Open Championship when we return here from Lancaster Country Club along with Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Meadus. I'm Brian Colesio. More Tee to Green coming up right after this on WGR.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Custom turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club. Stay tuned. More Tee to Green coming up. Let's get the latest on the Ryder Cup. The Ryder Cup Report is being brought to you by Jumpa Agency, Main Street in Clarence.
And also want to mention our friends at Scroy Financial. They're celebrating 50 years in business this year. The second generation financial planning firm assisting fourth generation clients. And whether you're just getting started or want to review your current plan, and listen, if you haven't been in the last year, you've missed out. That's for darn sure. They offer a complimentary one-hour consultation. Their office is in West Seneca, 674-6700. They can also do it via Zoom, by the way, or in person if you'd like. ScroyFinancial.com, S-G-R-O-I Financial.com. Ryder Cup Report for our friends at the Jumpa Agency.
That's right. Let's get that in here. We're going to look at Europe this week. We've been looking at the U.S. a lot. A lot of focus this week will be on Europe and the Open Championship. John Rahm leading the European standings. No shock there. He's a lock to be on the team, as is Rory McIlroy, who's in second. Here's your top golfers here that are on the European points list. Rahm is one. McIlroy is two. Hatton is third. Hovland is fourth. Casey is fifth. Westwood is sixth. Fleetwood is seven. And Fitzpatrick is eight. There's your top eight right now. Those guys, points-wise, likely will all be, I would guess, a part of it there, too. Anybody jump out? I mean, looks like Lee Westwood's going to make another Ryder Cup team.
That's remarkable.
And he's had a good year again.
Yes, he has.
Chance to win again in majors.
He's had a good year on and off the course.
Yeah, that's right. He got married.
Yep.
He had a chance to win a couple of tournaments with his now wife on the bag.
Yeah, Arnold Palmer Invitational, and then
the next week, too.
Just back-to-back weeks.
Yes.
The Players. Yeah, it was the Players. Yeah, Players Championship.
He's had a really good year. Casey's had another good year, too. Europe's got a strong team. And, of course, you've got guys like Sergio and Poulter and Rose. They're in the teens.
Yes.
But, I mean, would you think those are all three guys that are going to be captain's picks? Maybe not Sergio. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah.
Is Rose and Poulter locks for captain's picks?
I think Poulter is definitely under consideration.
Well, I think they like Poulter because the energy he brings, and he seems to play well.
He's amazing.
No matter what.
Play.
No matter how he's playing, he does well.
And to me, Rose depends on Rose's health.
He's got
back issues. Yeah.
He's also money in this. He sees to be every one of those 20 footers for Rose in the Ryder Cup just seems to go in.
How do you not pick Sergio? Isn't he the all-time points leader for Europe?
For Europe. He's the greatest European Ryder Cupper ever.
His game is not on form lately, though, I don't think so.
Up and down.
Good segue here to our what we'll finish the show with this week. By the way, we're back here at Lancaster Country Club. Brian Colesio, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Meadus. Thanks for listening to Tee to Green. Just a few minutes left. If you missed any of the show, we'll have it up on our on-demand audio section, WGR550.com. Also, our chat last segment with assistant PGA Pro here, Andy Duval. Thanks, Andy, for coming on last segment. Let's get our picks in here. You mentioned Garcia. He's 50-1 to win this week here. Let's talk. We mentioned in the last segment, Darren Clark, Ben Curtis, guys that have won at Royal St. George's, maybe coming from way down the list here. So, let's go there first. Is there a guy way down the list on the odds that you like this week?
Sergio would be my dark horse pick. You say, how's he a dark horse? It's Sergio Garcia, but he's my dark horse pick.
He's 50-1.
50-1.
throw $10 on him. That could be a nice payday for
you. Sure. But I like Rahm to win. I know everybody's probably going to pick Rahm.
He's the favorite, 9-1.
He's the favorite. I just love his game right now. You see what he's doing in the Scottish Open. He's been playing great all year. Rahm would be my pick to win. Sergio would be my dark horse.
Hey, I'm going to go Paul Casey as a dark horse.
40-1.
40-1. Yeah. I just think,
I was thinking him too.
And I also, I think John Rahm, and I can't pick Brooks this week. I think John Rahm's just been too hot, playing too good. It's just, he seems like he's on a run right now, and he's going to be severely confident walking into the British Open next week.
And you're right about the runs. We see runs in golf.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Koepka was on a run. DJ was on a run.
Furyk gets on runs.
Yes. Players just get on run. Jason Day was on that run.
Right.
You know, that's what it is now. You get on a run.
In terms of bang for your buck, I mean, Westwood at 50-1. Maybe this is his time to win. This is around the age like Darren Clark won, too. So maybe this is his time. 50-1 for Westwood, I think, is pretty good value. I'm going to go Jordan Spieth.
Well, I like that call.
Yeah. I think he's been having a good year, but he's been quite quiet lately. No one's saying a thing about him. I like Spieth to get his second open this week.
It's a flat shot. Yeah.
I don't hate that. Great hands, right? You need those.
And if he likes to be aggressive as a putter, these greens are a little slower. He can do it. When he's won all those events, he made so many long ones at the Open Championship before. So
I don't hate that pick.
Yeah, okay. I like that pick.
Hey, a quick mention, there's a big amateur tournament happening in Rochester, the Monroe Invitational.
Yes, big one.
Great event.
Played there once, Monroe Country Club. Awesome place. Anyways, Anthony DeLisanti. He was the last guy who won a playoff to get in a qualifier. Right now he's tied for 7th out of 95 players around the country. So BDGA champion. And he's playing well this week.
Medalist in the qualifier at the Junior Masters last week. Yep.
So good luck. Good luck here. I think today's the final round.
He's an excellent player. Excellent player.
Well, that'll put a wrap on our show for this week. Next week, we're on for 2 hours because it's the Open, and we'll have live golf playing
while we're
on the air. So we're going to be at Glen Oak.
While you're on the air too.
That's right. So let's make sure the crew over at Glen Oak has a TV by our setup for next week.
We'll be in studio there, so there'll be all kinds of things.
Beautiful. Looking forward to that. Thanks to everybody here at Lancaster Country Club for the warm welcome, as always, and to PGA Pro Andy Duvall for joining us during our middle segment of our show. If you missed any of it, we'll have it up on our on-demand audio section very shortly at WGR550.com. I'll also tweet it out as well at Brian WGR. For Kevin Sylvester, Kevin, have a great weekend. And PGA Pro Jeff Mitas. Jeff, you as well. I'm Brian Kulziel. I thank you for listening. Tee to Green every Saturday. Talk to you next week right here at 7 on WGR Sports Radio 550.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Custom turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and pay.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.